is a little bit different. This is more of like a forum where it's more about how can we reach out into the community, and this session's really, although I'll talk for a bit, but it'll be quite interactive, so it'll be about you guys and what you think, what different ways, you know, we can reach out into the community of Corby, because Corby's obviously really grown in the last 10 years. It's rapidly changed, obviously, for the better. But in the last 6 months, through different people that I've been talking to that's outside of the church, it seems like the enemy has stepped up his game a bit in the form of, especially around the area of addiction. I mean, the last 6 months, I mean, the amount of people that either I spoke to or used to go to school with, compared to a year ago, you know, it's really, really bad, and there's lots of people from out of town that are coming in and using that as an opportunity to peddle, you know, all the drugs around, and I just see the mess of that. So you can say the brokenness has got a lot worse, in my opinion, and that's just for people I work with and people I see that's from, you know, my past. So I've been really sort of, it's been really heavy on my heart and I've spoke to Damien about it a few times in thinking of a strategy how to go into the midst of that situation, because that's like going on another level, you know. And when I've spoke to some of these guys, there was one person, I think you can remember, we done a little school of evangelism day in the summer, and there was one guy who actually, he gave his life to Jesus, and I hadn't seen him for a couple of months. I tried to meet up with him, and then I seen him a couple of weeks ago, and it was like he had aged 10, 15 years in like 2 months, going around broken arm, you know, could hardly walk, and you could tell, you know, that he was on stuff, and that just really, you know, broke my heart again, and so for me, you know, I just think it's a call to action, and it's woke me up, because although I do this stuff anyway, but certain areas that I feel like God's highlighting, like back to the Kingswood estate, which Hope Church has always been connected with, yeah, ever since I've been in Hope Church. And I just feel, I mean, obviously some of you might have heard there was a murder there a little while ago, and we knew that guy who was involved in that from the homeless shelter. So sorry, Nikki, did you want to say something? Yeah. Exactly. And you know, in these situations, you know, Jesus is the only one, you know, that can transform that. I mean, I've seen in this church in the last 3 months, two of my best friends from my past, actually, who I hadn't seen for 10 years, then just tapped me on the shoulder one day in here at the refreshments. And then they start talking, saying it's all about Jesus. They've been set free, and now, you know, now God's speaking to them about reaching these bad areas. So this session's just about practical, about what ways, you know, we can reach out, and practical tips in helping with that. But before that, I'd like to invite Colin up, because Colin's going to just do a little recap in case there was anybody not here last week.
Yeah, just a quick recap. So I'm not going to go into great detail, because Richard's going to sort of take us on another journey, different tack today. So I'll just read some of the headings just to sort of drop them in again, because as soon as I mention a heading, you'll think, ah, and I know people took notes and stuff like that. By the way, we are going to, I've had a bit of difficulty, I'm not the most techie person around, but I've spoken to Damien, and all the info and the sheets and some headers and notes and stuff, we will have them together, we'll talk together, and we'll have some stuff almost like a little mini pack that you can have. So we'll put that together once, perhaps next week and within the next couple of weeks after this. So we did an intro, and you remember me saying, you know, Samuel, you're not Billy Graham, and Esther's not, you know, this evangelist or that evangelist. It isn't about being that big figure evangelist, but it's, we talked about that one-to-one thing, didn't we? Engaging, we used that example of Jesus engaging in John 4 with the lady at the well, that we might look at that and go, do you know what? Jesus engaged that day to that lady and look what happened with all of that, and we can do that. Okay, so we looked at Timothy scripture, doing the work of an evangelist. Okay, was there, just quickly, I don't want to take over Richard's time, but just quickly give me some sort of things that perhaps happened on the back of last week. So is there any, what sort of things stirred you? Was there any thoughts that you went away, you were praying and thinking, well, what could I do there? Was there anyone got anything that they were prompted on particularly, even one word?
In the food bank, we find that a lot of the volunteers that we have there are not Christians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So we took, I think one area we're looking at is to maybe introduce prayers into the beginning of the program and at the end.
Good.
So
yeah, that's
of
good.
Of course, then we can actually talk to the people as they come in.
Yeah. So almost like imagine that seed again. So in that food bank, you have the seed. So when people come along, you're seed carrying. They might not be in Christ yet, but you're encouraging them to come in a journey. I think of, you know, just packing away Weetabix and cans and soups and things. I don't know what all the ingredients are, but while you're doing that, that's major. Don't underestimate how major that is, because you're giving food. But we talked about food last week. Jesus said, my food is... Well, the disciples were looking for food, and he was looking for the most important food, wasn't he? So you could take that sort of theme into food bank. Anything else?
You talked about sandwich, didn't you?
Talked about life sandwich.
Yeah, that's good. But Jesus,
did that stick
good
with you?
Yes.
Yeah, good. And what's inside the sandwich? So we made it a bit jovial in a sense, but inside the sandwich of birth and death, there's this sandwich where we bring Jesus into it. Into our life's journey. Yeah, it's good analogy. Let's be quick, because sowing and reaping, we talked about that principle, didn't we?
Sowing a seed.
Sowing a seed, yeah. And I told you about Brenda in Birmingham. When she went out on the streets, she might be in a certain street and she just lays a seed in the street corner, then starts talking to people. Because that's her initiative. I've thrown a seed on the floor. I'm about to do something in this area. Sowing and reaping. We talked about many seeds to scatter, where we use those testimonies. What you sow is what you get.
Yes.
What you sow is what you get. Good principle, isn't it? And then a few scriptures attached to that. Galatians 6, 7 and 10. I think some people took that down.
The waiting harvest.
Good. Fields of white unto harvest. Yeah. Fields of white. Well, he was talking to the lady in John 4, wasn't he? Later on in the chapter, he says, have a look out.
Yes.
The fields of white unto harvest. Almost saying to people, look at the urgency. I've had a one-to-one with someone, but the fields of white unto harvest. So be expectant. You know, being expectant for that. Knowing, going and sowing.
Yeah. Live to give.
Live to give. Good, good. I think they took a lot in, Richard. And I did. You know what I'm saying? You know, a living to give bit. I live to give, whereas the world is always looking for something. You know, people always want a bonus, don't they?
Yeah.
If someone gets a bonus in their wage, whoa, I've got a bonus. And they begin to hang on to the bonus rather than live every day and do things well. The pressure's off when you let God move. The pressure's off of you.
Yeah.
You know, so we don't have to get... And I think even in that celebrate recovery thing just now, some people were saying, I almost got a feeling like those guys were going, the pressure's off. Because I'm trusting God and I'm celebrating recovery. Okay, very quickly. The fields of white unto harvest, engage and encounter are two words that I try to carry around. Good couple of words there, engage and encounter with people. Did I mention you've lost that loving feeling?
Yeah.
And the song?
Yeah, you did.
That's the one that's been hanging with me.
Did you sing it?
I did. It's on the recording. It's not very good. No, Simon Cowell hasn't rung me up and told me. So is there anything that will hinder me from growing, going and sowing seeds? Sometimes the intensity of work, home life, being a good parent, you know, they can be hindrances. We have to do them well. We do them in Christ. But don't let all those things be a hindrance to us. To us moving out. And I think I mentioned apathy. I didn't want to dwell on that too long. Apathy, it can lull you to sleep. So that's it. Whatever stream people are sitting in today, you know, it's not, they're important streams, because we want people to, all together, we want to collectively and corporately carry the the goodness of Christ wherever we go. So let's not go asleep on it. Let's realise that that bell is still ringing, you know, for us to get out. And that's what our hearts are, really, and Richard's has been for a long time, is to people to hear the bell that God has come through Jesus, his son, and he's coming again. Okay. Declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. So confession, you know, so when you meet people, that's really the point you want to arrive at. And that's all different times, isn't it, Richard? You can meet someone tomorrow and lead them to Christ, and there'll be someone in a year's time, they might be supple and ready and have heard the word of God that's powerful and applicable to them. And that's it. Do you want me to read a few scriptures that lead you into...
Yeah.
Please. And I forgot my glasses today. I'm going to squint. Does anybody wear glasses here?
Yeah. Well, most people seem to be able to use...
My head starts spinning with the wrong glasses.
They're not strong.
Okay. Well, that's good. Yeah. Okay, 1 Peter 3:15. It says this: but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. And the other one was Luke 10. So that was 1 Peter 3:15 and Luke 10. Luke 10, 1-3, wasn't it, Richard?
Yes.
After this, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them two by two ahead of him to every town and place where he was about to go. He told them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among the wolves."
Thanks, Colin.
So yeah, those those two scriptures are just, you know, the forefront of what we're going to talk about today.
Put my glasses back. Oh. You know, I know you've got them, but it's not.
Do you know I'm notorious in that? I think I've got about 8 pairs of glasses deposited in all different regions.
Sorry.
So the first thing is to sustain our personal fire, which is our intimacy with Jesus.
So, and that's our responsibility, you know, to feed ourselves, to spend that time with Jesus, to even on a daily basis denying the things of the flesh, and just really, you know, making those right choices, you know, in life, and allowing God to develop our character, because God is more concerned about our character than our comfort. And sometimes we can be in that comfort zone, and that's when you step out, like stuff, whether it's going and speaking to people who you interact with regularly or going out onto the streets. You know, when you do that and you step out, God steps in and chains break off, you know. And me and my wife, I mean, investment in yourself as well, and self-development. I mean, me and my wife, we went to Bible school in 2011. We both invested in the same year. I was the only one working, only on £6 an hour, so we couldn't really afford it. And then both of us done that. And obviously we had children, people having to watch our children every month. And I'd only just become a Christian. I was only a Christian about 6 months, you know, when we went on the school. And it just really changed our lives and give us that heart, you know, for the lost people of the world. And we then started to go back to the school every year, graduations. Then we joined the team, and then people seen that, you know, gifting in us, and they invested in us, like Elaine, who's from our Bible school, and now we help her run the school. So we're now equipping people and running missions, you know, every year. And it's amazing because I get to do it with my wife, you know, and God, we knew from the get-go, really, and even Sheila and John could see that there was a ministry for both of us together, you know, because my wife, she's a Bible teacher and obviously an evangelist, and we just really gel together, because the ministry of the evangelist is like the midwife. You know, so we see the delivery of the baby, of the baby Christian, the new Christian, and like the midwives, they care for them for the 6 weeks until the health visitor takes over. And that's what we do. So as well as going out and speaking to people about Jesus, it's then investing in them, which is discipleship. You know, going on the journey of that with them, like John and Sheila did with me. I mean, I was a mess, you know, when they came into my life, and they discipled us, and they took us on a journey. And even when I was wanting to go out and do 100 things in 1 week, you know, like as if the world was going to end on Friday, and John and Sheila had the task of not squashing the passion, but trying to say, right, calm down, you know, we need to go at a steady pace. And you need those people in your life, you know, to take you on that journey. So that's what my heart is, to go out to reach them, but then to get alongside them. So when they're going through the mucky things in life, you know, you're in that place with them. You know, you're representing Jesus in those places. Then you have the right to speak into their life, you know, because you've earned that right, because you've loved them, you've stayed up, you've been up at 2 o'clock in the morning with them when that phone call's come, and so I think that's really important. And we need to guard our hearts, you know, because I know some people say, I'll go with my heart and stuff like that. But our heart is, you know, hearts are deceitful, you know, so we need to protect them, especially when we're going out into the community and interacting with people. It's good to share something personal because it opens up the door for them to share. But we need to realise that we need to put a barrier there, you know, as well. We don't share, you know, everything with them. So we all have a story to tell, you know, and each one of us have came to the Lord in different ways. But when we are totally dependent on the Holy Spirit and we're led by the Holy Spirit, then we will interact with the people that our story will help them in their journey. You see, we all have hidden treasures inside that can help people get to the next level, or people could be walking through the town centre. I mean, I heard one story that this guy was really sort of at the end of his life and so depressed and suicidal, and he just says to God one morning, I just want to know that you love me, you know, if you're real, you know, then show me. And then, of course, God speaking to another person saying, I'll just go and tell them I love them, and you think, well, that's like that's a normal thing. I mean, you know, and you think, oh, that's just me in my head because it's easy to say. But then this person went up, bumped into that man and said, I just really feel like God wants you to know that he loves you. And that actually was their answer. And that stopped them. And who knows, they could have went and ended their life that day. But that was the intervention. So no matter what we think is stupid, I mean, what's the worst that can happen? If we go and say something, they can either say, oh, no, you're all right, mate, or I'm not interested. And for that split second, I mean, we might feel a bit embarrassed or stupid, but at the end of the day, look at the other side of that coin. That could save them from eternity in hell to eternity in heaven. So sometimes we just need to sort of, not in a rude way, but get over ourselves, you know, and just realizing that when we're going out, this is spiritual warfare. It's, you know, when we're going out having these conversations, and we need to realize that, because we can go out. I've heard people say, I don't want to go out on the streets because, you know, I don't like rejection. Well, nobody likes rejection, but when you're an evangelist or you're going out and sharing, you will get that, you know, at times. And I went out one, and this is, 6 years ago, I went out on the streets and I got 12 rejections one after another, and I was just like, oh, I've had enough today, that's it, I'm going home. But my heart wasn't right in that morning. I knew it wasn't, and that if we go out half-heartedly, then people will know the fakes or not, you know. So if you bump into someone, you're having someone with a coffee with someone, if you know that they feel they don't really want to talk to you, then you'll feel that, won't you? You'll feel it in the atmosphere. Just like if you're coming up to someone and speaking to them about Jesus, if you're just like, oh, good morning, like that, you know, and they could turn around, they're not even a Christian, they might say, I think you need prayer, never mind me. So yeah, it's been, you know, wholeheartedly, you know, and just going out there. So a little activity, just you know, in your pairs, just for a couple of minutes, I'd like you to talk about what you think the barriers could be to stop us sharing the gospel with the people that we interact with. Okay.
So you can do the same as last week if you have four or five, something like that.
But sometimes, you know,
okay, if everyone could wrap up the conversations now, please. Okay, everyone. So maybe from each group you could just say one or two things that you talked about. Ramsey's group?
Yeah, we were just saying about distractions.
Yeah. there's a lot of distractions. If it works, one of the things, especially if you're low paid or something like that, you need to put in extra hours to earn the money that you need. That is a major distraction because you end up working more hours than you've got free.
Yeah.
There's no way then you can put any time into it. So that's one distraction.
Also weariness.
Yeah.
Trying to do things in my own strength. Getting worn out, not being on fire. You know, for Jesus first. That's something I do, get too busy, and then just give up too easily, which is an easy mistake to make.
And then political correctness. At the moment in the world, we are being compelled to conform to the ways of this world.
Yeah.
That you are forcing material religion on me. We are not really forcing religion on anyone. It's one of the major barriers, you know, that the world has formed these words to, you know, to manipulate the whole thing into avoiding getting the word.
Suppressed.
Yeah,
suppressed into a position where you can't be free about the gospel.
Yeah, which is
Sheila's group.
Started off with obviously in the fear of rejection, so we do feel sometimes that, but we've got to get over ourselves, as you said, you know, we've got to learn to just get over ourselves and go out and do it because we want to,
yeah,
it's our hearts to do it, so it's only us that's stopping us, really, isn't it?
Yeah. And the thing is, once I came to the point of realizing, actually, it's not about me, you know, it's about Jesus, and that worked on both ways. So if you get rejected, you know, not to get, you know, offended, because it's not you that are offended. And then also, when you go out, you deliver the message. It's not our responsibility whether they give their life to Jesus or not.
That's
we
right.
deliver the message, and then the Holy Spirit's job is to do the rest. All we have to do is to go there to deliver the message, you know, and then, exactly. So sometimes I've been out where I've had a conversation with people and it's just been like say on the scale, 0 to 10, 10 being, you know, give their life to Jesus. Somebody could be on 3, you can maybe take them to the 5. And another time you could go out and they could already be on a 7 because someone's been out 2 weeks before. And then you go and then you put the finishing touch on. I remember there was someone that used to come to this church, and before they became a Christian, I'd been round there all weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 hours each day, and they were just like, no, sorry, Friday and Saturday, and they were like, oh, I just don't think I'm ready yet, and I'm telling you, I've been here all weekend, you are ready, and then it come to the Sunday, and he just walks into church, and he just walks up to Damien and just says, Damien, I want to declare myself a sinner. And then that was it. And then he was into it. And I said to Damien, well, what's that all about? And I said, I just spent 16 hours of our weekend, you know, there. And he says, well, sometimes as a pastor, we get to, he says, but it's the groundwork that you put in that's, you know, which is the seed planting, you know. So, and I think once we know, like Colin said about pressure of being off, once we know that that's not about us, you know, and it's a spiritual warfare thing, it's much easier. So yeah, that's great, you know, the fear thing.
Jesus was rejected many times as well. So
exactly.
Yeah.
And Bonnie's group?
I think we talked about fear, you know, which is in line with, there are all kinds of fear, you know, fear of rejection, fear of persecution.
Yeah.
You know, fear of, you know, just fear, you know. So we're talking about, you know, how do we overcome that fear? And one of the things we thought about was that, you know, we need to be prayerful and we need to study the word.
Mm-hmm.
And we gave the example of, you know, when the disciples in the Acts of Apostles, when they were rejected and beaten and commanded not to speak in the name of Jesus, they came back to their own company in a kind of regrouping.
Yeah.
Then they didn't just fold their hands, but they prayed. And specifically, they ask God for boldness, you know, for courage to go out and speak. And once after the prayer, they were filled with the Spirit and they went out and spoke boldly.
Amen.
So I felt that one way God gives us boldness or overcomes our fear or helps us to overcome fear is to fill us with His Spirit.
Yeah.
That is very, very crucial, because Jesus told the disciples not even to go out until they were
filled with the Spirit.
Yeah. Wait. So it's quick. It's not.
That's the key thing.
Without the help of the,
yeah.
Otherwise, there was no. There would be no point of him sending the Holy Spirit if we can't use it.
Yeah, that's very true.
You don't always go out to preach. It's the way you live.
Yeah.
You know, people see Christ through the way you live, and then they can ask you as well, and you can share. So it's everyday thing. It's not especially going out.
No, it should be. It should be an everyday thing. I mean. Yeah, I mean, on Monday, funny enough, I was at the Elim Evangelist Annual Conference in Malvern, and I was on my way back, and four trains to get back, and then so I took the day off work, you know, four trains to get back. First train was okay. Second train got cancelled because the driver was ill. Third train was delayed 15 minutes. So then I got to Leicester, the other train had already gone, and I was just thinking, oh, here we go, you know, because whenever I go away to a conference, the enemy normally, you know, does stuff on the way back, you know, to try and rob you of what you've got. And then, so we got to Leicester, and then I heard this other man saying, oh, does that London St. Pancras go to Kettering? And I said, oh, no, that one's just to London. The next one in 20 minutes is to Kettering. And I says, oh, are you getting on that? And I says, that's the one that I'm getting. He said, yeah. And then he said, oh, I live in Kettering. And so we started talking. And he worked for a charity, and he was on a training day. And he says, oh, where have you come from? I says, oh, I was at Malvern. I says, I was at a conference. I says, I'm a Christian. And then we started talking, and then started sharing, you know, the gospel with him. And then there was a parent. I thought, because I was a bit frustrated about the trains at first. And then I just thought at that moment, oh, God's orchestrated this to happen. and then so I ended up having an hour with this guy, sat next to him on the train on the way back, and then I was just sharing about where I was like before. And he says, oh, I've got a lot of respect for the church, and his brother goes to church in London, and then we were just sharing stories. And he says, oh, wow, he says by the way you're talking, he says, I can tell God really does change lives. And then planted that seed with him, and then he moved on. And I got home and I'm thinking, wow. And then I text Damien, and he says, so the only guy's on the way back from an evangelist conference, and then straight away the application from the conference is on the train. And that was an opportunity, you know, there. And then this week I had three divine opportunities, all of people I've worked with for years. And it's funny because in the morning, but when I pray certain prayer, and then sometimes if I haven't prayed for divine appointments, it's like God reminds me when I'm in work. And then when I prayed for it, and then within an hour, there was this like two opportunities, you know, like one after the other. And one particular guy who has a Grim Reaper tattoo on his arm, and he, when I first worked, I got a lot of persecution for the first 2 years when I was there, and it was all from this person. Then he started asking me about what do you think happens when we die. So I started talking about heaven and hell and the decisions that we make, and how it you know, affects eternity. And it was just really, you know, great, powerful times. And they're like everyday opportunities, you know. I just walk past somebody's line, drop something off, and then they come and ask me a question. So it's,
yeah, still on the point of opportunities. I was thinking of, I have to capture my thoughts into words, simple words. Still on the opportunity, somebody came to sell security equipment to us. A Muslim, young Muslim girl came to our house during the week, and we sought to use the opportunity to share the gospel with her. And she didn't give her life to the Lord there, but she learned a lot, according to her. Now, but the point I'm making here is that when I got into the life of witnessing, it was through church years ago, back outside this country, that we encouraged. One thing that helped us in church was there was a team that went out. There was a team that came to share. There was a team that encouraged other people to do. When I came into this country, we were told, it's not our culture to go knocking on the door, don't do it, because it's better for people to see you, you know. And so I started wondering, when I joined when we had a little team to go out to the Jesus video, the church told us that, you know, you will not be welcome
and I didn't find that to be true.
Mm.
So it could be institutional thinking as well.
Yeah, yeah, you are right. They say, well,
seeing the whole thing about, because somebody said the other day, evangelism, when you mention it, it's a problem. And people give all sorts of views. So we could spend hours thinking about, what do we do?
You see, whenever we've done missions in our Bible school, every year, a big part of that is door knocking, house to house, evangelism. Like, that's one of the things that I teach on the school. And we've done that, and a big part of the salvations on the mission isn't out when the events are gone on, it's the door to door. In one particular, when Hope West, the other congregation that we had here, when the mission was done there, someone actually got filled with the Holy Spirit on their doorstep, and that person is still in church now, and that was about 4 years ago or something. So that was like, that was amazing. It's amazing fruit. So we do it, but there's a bigger fear barrier for people, obviously, because you're into that.
I just add something quickly. Are you referring to the Jesus in Me videos?
Yes. No. Jesus video. That was the time we used a particular one when I can't remember it was 1990 when Brazil won.
When Brazil won the World Cup.
Yeah, there's something like that.
Right. So
Jesus video
by
the Campus Crusade.
Yeah. We did Jesus in Me videos in the East End. And we literally delivered them and said, you can keep that for 2 weeks, and then we'll come and see what reactions
the same
are.
One,
so it lays down a kind of time where they can just go, you giving me a video? Really? Good. And they sit down with their family or their sons, usually. So that it can be powerful encounters on the doorstep as well. Right,
so just quickly, because time is just getting away from us. So Christianese, when we're out speaking to people, like, not to use phrases like, I've been sanctified by the blood of the Lamb, because people, they just wouldn't understand. Even testimony, can I share my testimony with you? So I break it up and I'll say, can I share a bit of my story, with you, of how what God's done in my life? So it's using those, simple things, because even salvation, they wouldn't know. And there's some particular words that obviously you wouldn't have another word for. And in that situation, just unpack what the word means to them in as simple as you can, and then so what's next? Collins obviously last week has done his session, and this is about being practical. I mean, what ways could we reach out into the community? And this is really when we would like to hear your ideas. And if there were no restrictions on finance or people, then what would you do to reach out to the community of Corby, and how would you do it?
So can I say, I don't know if you're
going I know.
I'm very passionate, but sometimes I'm a bit sluggish, a bit lazy, because I kind of, the Bible said, iron sharpeneth iron. Where people of like mind come together and they have a passion, they encourage. They encourage one another. That's what I think. We really need. We need a coordinated effort.
Definitely.
Just like we're doing here, and nothing's stopping us from saying, okay, now we can be having this kind of meeting on a regular basis to encourage one another, to kind of flip that, we can do that fire,
Well, that's what this is about, because I know what you're saying in that, and I felt before, when I felt frustrated, and I even got people and I said, could we be going out on the streets once a month, and as a team and doing so. I even put on an equipping day, and lots of people said they would come, but in the end it was only me and Ramsey and maybe two other people that came. And so I've been going out on the streets in Corby for 5 or 6 years, but what I found was, and then because I do the school on a Saturday, if I would go to the school, then people weren't going out, and so really to the bottom of this, what I was looking for, actually, now you talk about that, was, so what ways could we reach out into the community, and commitment to go out on the streets of Corby, say, once a month, and people could do could do different Saturdays, and also maybe some people aren't feeling that they're at that point where they would, but they would love to pray. So praying and fasting, prayer walking, all this stuff, that the brokenness that's going on, we could be getting people could be prayer walking and fasting. You know, even if someone fasted one day a week, and we had lots of people praying. So say for instance, I was going out on the streets on Saturday, on Monday or during the week, people could be praying and fasting. And say I said I'm going to be around the town centre part, people could be walking around praying, you know, that people that stand on this ground will get impacted by the Holy Spirit, and you know, and things like that. So if people aren't at the place where they want to go out and speak to people in the community, but they want to pray and fast in that way, you know, for this time until they build confidence, then you know, that's fine as well. And when God steps, when we step out, God steps in. So I mean, by stepping out, you know, we break those chains and we build that confidence, and God, you know, does amazing work in our character when we do that. So this is what I would like to propose. I mean, me and Colin, we've only known each other for about a year. People think we've known each other about 20 years, and you know, we bounce off each other, and now instead of we've been talking about, instead of sitting in a coffee house having a coffee, get a coffee to go. And Damien said the same, you know, and the three of us are probably going to start doing it, is go out, go for a walk in, get your coffee and go out and see if, and interact with people in the community. So instead of spending 2 hours sitting talking about church stuff, go out into the community and do it, you know. And
where the power is, where if you really want to see the power, you know, is out there.
We need to be people of action, you know.
Within the church. You know, that when we go out, that's when Jesus said Jesus Christ walked with them, confirming with signs following.
So
that's what it's all about. But we need somebody to coordinate that.
We need something.
It doesn't happen by chance, like you're saying. There has to be a kind of a team.
To
coordinate it. Either draw a rotor, because we all in the same boat. We are like-minded. We like evangelism. We have passion for it, but we need that effort to be coordinated channels.
I think this will happen after, you know, after this. I think this is the plan, and me and Colin, you know, we have that heart of, you know, rallying evangelists together and you know, and facilitating and you know, like this, like a forum where we can talk. So for instance, community centres in Corby, you can hire out for about £15 an hour, so just say £30, a microphone and an amp. Hire the place out, go round the estate, prayer walk, you know, hand it out, invite people, come share some testimony, somebody give a short word, and that doesn't cost much money. And even if there wasn't in the budget, if we had a team of 10 of us and we all invested out of our own pocket, you know, into, you know, these lives, you know, because if we think about it, I mean, there's people going to hell every day, so I mean, that's an investment into their eternity that we're putting into that.
Have some food. It doesn't cost that much to cook a meal.
Yeah, exactly.
Or simple meal.
Curry nights.
Yeah, curry nights. A big curry pot nights. Of curry, a big pot of rice. We've done it in Aaron Way, and then we shared some testimonies, and it was a great turnout. Yeah.
Isn't it? In a different way.
Yeah.
So easy. It doesn't have to be the church does this, that, and the other.
Exactly.
There's a guy in Desborough. He's just got the hire. Well, he's been doing it a while, very quickly. He's an ex-basketball kids in there. He's only got a few at the moment, six or seven. He's teaching them. They're doing things with the basketball they've never done before. They've never even tried it at school. Brilliant. And he wants to soon. I've got to talk to Damien, and it would be up to Damien whether we link. But that could get a lot of kids in Desborough into that leisure centre to have a Christian man teach them basketball. And he doesn't just teach them to do all flash tricks and stuff. He has a little talk, a little zone where he says, what about school? What about in your classroom? What about with your mum and dad? How can this gospel infiltrate those areas? Mm. You know, when you're in the playground at school, can you end up being an invitational person, but you're doing it through basketball first of all. So yeah. Sport-related items as well.
So what I would like to see, I mean, I'll speak to Damien and Adam, but even maybe once a month, if people wanted to get together, pray together, seek God, and what way, can we go forward? How can we reach out into the community and just be praying for that, boldness for each other and going out, together. So yeah, it's real. I know Ramsey and a few other people have said to me that they've been eager to go out, again. Yeah. And it's, and so, yeah, because you don't necessarily need, the leadership to come in. I mean, we can relate back to Damien and say, oh, look, this is what we want to go forward, because,
let's not make it.
Exactly.
So,
I like that. Colourful.
Colourful.
Flavour. relational. Yeah. And shared personality.
Absolutely.
I tell you what, when people are talking about fear, I think we've all got a tad of it.
Yeah, of course we have.
I don't want to come across as an evangelism who's cocky.
Yeah. Yeah.
You come across as an evangelist who loves and cares. And
that's
and,
right.
Yeah. Yeah. One of the events we can organize is the Q&A.